Ready, Mace?
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to
Second down on a Monday. Welcome in. Welcome back. If you've been hanging out with us, we're happy to have you. Lots of stuff to discuss. Mike Vrabel going to speak at noon. Stick around if you want to hear from the Titans head coach. You may hear from him in between now and noon, because we have some more stuff from last night's post game after a 24-17 victory by the Titans over the Colts to play for you. If you want to join the conversation, we'd love to have you. 615-737-1045 is how you do that. Although we are getting chastised. We're getting subtweeted. Do you see this?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Do you care about this beef before we get into the Colts quotes from Nyheim Hines about the quarterback situation and some injury news regarding that team in the AFC South as well?
Depends. Who is it?
Well, it's apparently somebody who called earlier. The Twitter handle is Sal from Jersey. Now, what was the nature of the call?
Yeah, Sal from Jersey called. He wanted to talk about a post-game video that he made that apparently you used on A to Z Sports Primetime. And he wanted to call in and talk about the video. Is he upset that we did not patch him in?
Yes. It's being taken, it seems, as a personal slight.
Oh.
Now, producer Reed did, on Primetime, did send me Sal's post-game rant, and we did play it on the Primetime show. I don't know what, if he wanted to replicate his rant. I'm not sure what the nature of the call was. But it says 30 minutes was as long as I was going to wait to get on the zone. Oh, well. And then I got tagged in it and says, put this man on the top of your call list. The thread continues. Appreciate it, but it's over now. Waited 30 minutes. If they wanted me on, they would have put me on. Like, I don't understand.
All right, well, in the callback, what we'll do is we'll scrap Vrabel. And we'll lead noon with Sal from Jersey to talk about a Twitter he put on video.
All right. See, I'm not trying to start a fight. I'm just saying we're being subtweeted unnecessarily, I thought. You were trying to actively agitate people. But see, that's going to come off as like I said something.
Yep.
And then I'm going to get blamed for it. Like I'm trying to, you know, like I'm trying to urinate on Sal from Jersey. I'm not trying to do that. It's you.
Do you ever feel like when you're in public or something and you're wearing sunglasses, that you're like almost hiding behind the sunglasses?
Me?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Am I your sunglasses?
Yes, you are my sunglasses.
You chicken bleep. I love it. I just, you know, listen, we do try to get to the calls as efficiently as humanly possible. I try to take them in order, but like people do wait a considerable amount of time sometimes. So we do apologize if that's the case. But like, you know, Lucas wants to fight. I'm not necessarily interested in that. My whole thing is kind of get over yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be okay.
I understand what you're calling about. Like, if you're calling about Titans second half issues, you know, be frustrated. But if you're calling about wanting to talk about a video that you put on Twitter,
which is great marketing and self-promotion.
I respect it.
But also, I don't care.
But understand our priorities.
Okay. So, speaking of priorities, let's talk about what the Titans' priority was last night or yesterday afternoon, which was to beat Indianapolis. A feat that they did accomplish. Now, first, let's start with the Colts injury news. Zach Kiefer of The Athletic reporting both Tyquan Lewis and Shaq Leonard will miss Denver's game, which is the next game that the Colts will play. It's a short week. The Thursday night game is Colts at Broncos. Blech. Did the Broncos win yesterday or did the Raiders? I didn't see the end of that game.
Raiders won.
Raiders won?
Yep.
So I'm not terribly interested in that Thursday night game. The Colts, that may actually kill the Colts. So Tyquan Lewis and Shaq Leonard out officially. Team saying that they don't know the severity of Jonathan Taylor's ankle injury yet. That's honestly, I know Titans fans aren't really going to shed a tear for Jonathan Taylor, but I kind of hate that. Like, he's a stud. He's a fun player to watch in the league. And I do hate that it has not been a season for him that would, you know, that has been the kind of electric and exciting that a lot of people figured that it might be. Running back is just, that's what, honestly, it's the thing that makes Derek all the more impressive. It's because Christian McCaffrey misses time. Jonathan Taylor misses time. These running backs from every other team at every other level, they are not durable. And there Derek is, just continuing to run people over 6 years into his NFL career. So, there's that from the Colts. Now, another tweet from Zach Kiefer that made me laugh. Speaking of, a kind of get over yourself moment, Nyheim Hines, who was a non-factor in yesterday's Colts-Titans game, there's a quote that Kiefer tweeted out. So Nyheim Hines says, quote, "Not an excuse, but every year we have a new quarterback. So each year we have growing pains while we sit here, plus watch Tennessee, which has had Tannehill, what, my whole career?" Is that Nyheim Hines only been in the league for 3 years, 4 years? Maybe so. I'm not sure. "My whole career, and each year we're restarting and having to turn the page. So that sucks a little bit, too, that most teams we play have an established guy, but that doesn't matter. We have figured it out, and we will figure it out." Well, it sure seems to matter to you, bud.
Yeah, his rookie year, Mariota is still the starting quarterback.
Okay. So, Marcus, yeah, that would make sense. Now, Nyheim Hines was quoted before the season on Matt Ryan. Some to the effect of, yeah, this is the guy. I'll read it. "I can't describe it" when he speaks to Matt Ryan. This is Nyheim Hines in like August. "I can't describe it. You just get chills. He starts talking to us and you just look at him and go, okay, this is the guy who is about to lead us to a championship or the AFC South." Nyheim Hines on reactions when Matt Ryan addresses the Colts. That is a month and a half. Less than a month and a half of difference.
I mean, is he terribly wrong about the revolving door at quarterback?
No, he's absolutely right.
Yeah.
But like, what the hell happened between now and August where Matt Ryan is no longer leader guy and is like, oh, he's just got this revolving door and he's a scared old man back there and he keeps fumbling.
Yeah, that's preseason excitement. Chalk it up to that.
No, that's a freezing cold take is what you chalk that up to. So, the Colts are a bit of a mess, and it seems like the mess is not getting easier because not only do they have, what is their bye week situation? Because I know they play the Titans on the 23rd here in Nashville. That situation does not seem to bode well for them right now. So Indy will have the Thursday night game this week at Denver. And then before they play the Titans, they have, oh, they have another Jags game. That's nuts.
Yeah.
Buddy, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of the 6 AFC South games that the Colts are going to play are done by the 23rd.
Their bye week won't be until December. They play the Cowboys December 4th, and then they wait until December 18th to play the Vikings.
They go from the 23rd in Nashville until January the 8th between their 5th AFC South game and their final 6th AFC South game.
I mean, the Titans are done with the Colts before they play the Jags or Texans once.
No, I know. What I'm saying is it's so front. What, like, how the hell does that happen?
Weird, weird division.
I know we've
talked
about that before, but I don't know why I didn't remember that it was done until January for them. They may well be out of it. And, like, the Jags didn't look great yesterday. Trevor Lawrence was kind of he had a nightmare game. He fumbled the ball 4 times. I think he had two interceptions in the game. He did not look very good, and they kind of gave the game back to the Eagles when Jalen Hurts really struggled. He threw a pick 6 that apparently A.J. Brown was getting roasted for because he didn't run it down efficiently. So for those of you who are looking for a little Philly A.J. Brown shade, there you have it.
Messy, rainy game, too.
It was nasty out there.
Oh, yeah. And 14-0 lead in the first quarter for the Jags. Then they didn't score again until late in the second half.
Forgive me. Lawrence had one interception to go with the 4 fumbles, so only 5 turnovers as opposed to 6. But, yeah, 11 of 23, 174, 2 touchdowns and a pick. Not ideal. They tried to salvage that thing because they got up 14-0 on them. And yeah, we were looking around in the press box because the Chargers were just smoking the Texans at that point. And obviously the Titans and Jags were going the way that game was. So as far as Indianapolis is concerned, is it too early to say that I don't think the Colts are any kind of a threat to the Titans? Because they sure as hell didn't feel like it yesterday. I don't know how they survived these injuries on top of all of the divisional games that they've already squandered.
By the way, Trevor Lawrence, the first player in the 21st century to lose. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the 21st century to lose 4 fumbles in one game.
That's pretty good. The wrong kind of record to hold.
Yeah.
615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. Brett Batchelor. I don't know if that's our Brett Batchelor.
It has to be.
Is it?
Yeah.
He's just hanging out in the YouTube chat? Hello, Brett.
What's up, Brett?
Texans are the only winless team left in the league. The Colts are on their fifth quarterback in 5 years, and the Jags are leading the division. The AFC South, LMAO. Yes. Tough scene. And it also, you know, the Nyheim Hines quote is even funnier because Chris Curry correctly brings up that the Titans, in prior to, you know, Tannehill solidifying the situation, Mariota, Jake Locker, Kerry Collins, Rusty Smith, and the goober from LSU's name?
Zach Mettenberger.
Mettenberger. Was that Robert off mic laughing?
Yes. I was hoping you picked that up. Oh, that's funny.
I just remember that stupid picture of him in the headband with that idiot mustache.
Yeah. This is a crazy change of pace for a lot of Titans fans, because there are Titans fans that grew up, like a generation of Titans fans, that with an understanding of being owned by the Colts. So what has happened in the last 4 or 5 years is a very pleasant change of pace for a lot of people.
Well, listen, sports are cyclical that way. And right now, it has been the Titans' turn to kind of run things, no pun intended, over the Indianapolis Colts, which is a significant shift. The Colts have had 20 years of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck. At some point, you would assume that that cannot continue, that cannot sustain. But I do think it continues to be interesting to watch how those dynamics have changed, especially so quickly for the Jags, who have done well to amass some talent at this point. So, let's talk about the second half struggles and this team that needs to find a way to do something, to show some sign of life in the second half. We'll get more of your phone calls as well. You're going to hear from Coach Dave McGinnis and Mike Vrabel. Stick around. It's 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
Ryan dropping. Under pressure. Sack! Third time today, Denico Autry.
Big man was out there working yesterday. I watched Denico Autry play every game the last 2 years. And I've seen him play quite a few games in the AFC South when he was previously on the Colts. Hell, I saw him play against the Titans when he was still a Raider as an undrafted rookie free agent. That dude, I don't know how Indianapolis let him out of their building just to go down to Tennessee and become Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, Colts quarterback X, Y, and Z's worst nightmare. Like, it's got to really, really burn Chris Ballard. They have all this money to spend. They spent it on Braden Smith, the right tackle, and Quentin Nelson, who got worked by Autry and Simmons yesterday, for those of you who enjoy offensive and defensive line performance, especially in a game like this. That they spent, what, $20 million on Quentin Nelson at the Denico Autry's three-year contract is worth about as much as Quentin Nelson's average annual salary is, and he's just getting smoked on a regular basis out there. Denico Autry, I think he was only credited. Mike Keith said 3 sacks. I believe they took one of the sacks from Autry and gave it to Weaver in the official stat book, fairly or unfairly. He also forced a fumble that Bud Dupree recovered. One of several fumbles that the Titans caused. I think the only one they were able to recover, though, en route to... they recovered 2 fumbles from the Indianapolis Colts. Did Matt Ryan fumble 3 times yesterday? Is that right?
Yeah, because one was recovered by one of their offensive linemen. It just kept going backwards and going backwards, oh my God. Pryor eventually fell on it.
Okay, so he fumbled twice. He lost once.
And the interception.
Jonathan Taylor fumbled too. That one Schobert. Okay, got it. I had forgotten about the Schobert play.
Yeah, he kind of got caught up in a pile and ball gets ripped out somewhere.
So, point being, this team needs to win games however the hell they can, because their flaws are clear and obvious, even if we can't really figure out what the hell is the second half problem. And Lucas, explain to me what the audio that we're going to hear. Well, actually, let's hear from Ryan Tannehill first. Because Ryan Tannehill was asked about this postgame, and there's been a lot of criticism for Ryan Tannehill today, inexplicably to me. And Ryan Tannehill was asked by, I believe it was Chris Harris from WSMV, you know, it's not an ideal situation the way that you guys are playing these games, but you're still able to win. What do you make of that? This was Tannehill.
I know what ideal is winning. You know, I don't really care how it comes. You know, our job is to win. You know, whether it's quote-unquote ugly or quote-unquote pretty, like, it doesn't matter. W is a W, and our job is to score more points than the other team and finish each and every week 1-0 as best we can. So, you know, proud of our guys and the way we've battled. We don't blink when things may take a downturn. We believe in each other. We trust the guys playing beside us and, you know, on the other side of the ball. So, you know, every game's not going to be perfect. It's not a perfect game. So to have that belief in each other that, you know, defense is going to make a play or offense is going to make a play when we need it, it means a lot, and we've shown up big in the last couple weeks.
And to his point, I mean, listen, it's going to frustrate you. They exist to frustrate you. I wrote this last night that they don't do anything easily. They're getting outscored in the second half now, 64-7. 64-7. It's not even the 64. Like, the 64 number is the one that catches your eye because it's the bigger number, but the 7 is the far more egregious by a mile.
The crazy thing is that number could very well be 64-10, and the Titans be 3-1 right now if they make that field goal at the end of the Giants.
For Randy.
think about that. Like, if Randy made that field goal.
That is a good point.
It would be 64-10, and they would be 3-1.
Yeah. And so what then? Because that's how close the margin is. Look at a team like the Cardinals. The Cardinals came back to beat the Panthers yesterday, but they are in the first half what the Titans are in the second half. They are an utter atrocity, and then they just let Kyler do Kyler things at the end, and they somehow managed to, what are they now? They're not 3-1. They are 2-2.
The Cardinals, yes.
The Cardinals are 2-2 at this point.
Yeah, they have, you're right, they've been awful in the first half.
So the Titans are Jekyll and Hyde from one half to the next, and how they go about doing it, I don't think is going to make, it's not going to make anybody like feel overwhelmingly good. Like, they're not going to be looked at the way that the Chiefs are, the Bills are. It's the same damn tired conversation we have year after year after year with every team that does not have one of these all otherworldly quarterbacks. But when I hear Tannehill say that, his record in the regular season, postseason is a different conversation. His record in the regular season to put the team in position to have postseason success is indisputable. Their collective record with him at quarterback to put the team in postseason contention, last year the AFC's number one seed, is indisputable. So these games, while they are not, there are no style points. My God, some of the football that they, some of the things that happen there on the field of play throughout the course of a 60-minute game for them are hideous. Hideous. That's the only way to describe it. What did you say, 28 yards total in the second half?
Yeah.
And 1 of 6 on third down. That's the kind of thing, things that make you go, ooh, you know? It just a shiver down your spine. And yet Mike Vrabel's record in one-score games is unreal. When that's probably the most random number or most random statistic that gets attributed to coaches, like X, Y, and Z's record in one-score games is this. Mike's record in one-score games is, like, quantifiably great so far.
Well, and Josh Allen's was being thrown around all last week as being
6.
Quantifiably terrible, and then they win a one-score game at the Ravens, which, by the way, that's why Robert was in here ranting to me about how the Ravens blew that game.
It is the strangest thing in the world to me that he's a Ravens fan. It's just so bizarre. But anyway.
Very passionate Ravens.
Lamar was not good yesterday. MVP Lamar was not good yesterday.
He was good until he wasn't.
Yeah. It happened very quickly. The Bills were not good, very good yesterday until they were. So, think about that. Okay. How many other markets are having the same damn conversation? Now, 64-7 is ungodly. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I wish I had an explanation for you other than what this is. Now, Coach Mack, I think thus far, has offered the best explanation. Lucas, the context for this audio from Coach Mack is what?
Yeah, it was post-game, Titans Radio, the locker room report after the game. I thought Mac detailed it well about where this team is at right now, personnel-wise, and just the way he's identifying what this team has to do.
Well, I mean, look, this football team, let's just be very, very, very honest. They are so depleted with people that they are, you know, they're finding a way. I mean, what a gut check this was, and a complete flip from the first half to the second half, and turnovers. Rhett, you and I always talk about turnovers a lot as to how much they can flip a game. They flipped this game because, you know, clearly the Colts were the healthier football team, and then we continue to lose players. They found a way. What did we say earlier in the week, all these broadcasts that we do together, had to find a way? Well, they found a way today. I mean, and that second half was rough. It was really rough. But they found a way to get it done, and to me, that's a huge accomplishment. Now, I would love for us just to get some people healthy.
So he told me after the game, this has to be a find a way team. Which, what's a better descriptor of the Mike Vrabel era than a find a way team?
I mean, that's what their whole season was, and they were the number one seed last year. And you know, their playoffs ended spectacularly poorly, like ungodly poorly. So all these different things that you have to look through and say, all right, can the explanation simply be a find a way team when there's no one quantifiable way, right? It's got to be T.R. Tart. I talked to T.R. Tart in the locker room last night.
That was awesome.
It was one of the most spectacular. Anytime a big man makes a play, anytime a big man, you know, scoops and scores or recovers a fumble, an interception, though, a thick boy interception, two C's on that, a thick pick, both double C's on either side, is always the highlight of any sporting event.
But this one was different. Like, this was not
a... It was an athletic play.
Most of these interceptions are right place, right time. Like, oh, there's the ball. It's in my hands. Like, this was all T.R. Tart from start to finish.
Well, and it was the second pass that he got his hands on. So, I talked to T.R. in the locker room after the game. This was the conversation.
Where's that thing going?
Huh?
Where's that thing going now?
So you got to know where it is.
Yeah, that bad boy going in the showcase. Crib. Great win.
What happened on that play? I mean, obviously you got your hand on, but then did you know exactly where it was?
What happened is I got the slide, so I went to close the middle. The quarterback threw the ball up, and I'm going to try to match the hand. Popped up. I went looking for it. Yeah, I felt like that thing was in the air for at least 20 minutes or something like that. So I just tried to, my best is to not drop that thing.
That's the second one you got a hand on throughout the course of the game. Is that something you saw in film you guys were going to be able to do, or is that just coaching?
I mean, I feel like that's something that Coach T definitely worked on. We work on it every day, just trying to disrupt the quarterback, you know, just trying to get a hand in front of the ball.
Safe to say that's your first interception at any level?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Similar scripts the last 2 weeks, but really three of the four games this year. What's it mean to be able to hold on to another one and get a win?
I mean, it's a huge deal. I mean, we're starting to build momentum as a team, we're starting to play better, come together, you know, everything. So, like, you know, whatever we could do just to, like, keep going forward. It's a huge momentum.
And defensively in the second half, I think they finished missed field goal, fumble, punt. I mean, you guys kind of stepped up down the stretch.
The defense definitely turned it up, man. I got a shout out to the boys, D-line, you know, even the doghouse, man. I mean, the whole defense did their whole thing, but, you know, my boys, we go to war every day, and we all put in that work.
His smile when he says that ball was in the air for 20 or 30 minutes.
He looked like a turtle on its back when he caught the ball, because he looked like he couldn't even get up. And everybody's mobbing him.
But like so it goes up in the air and he like kind of rolls under it to like kind of, you're right, to turtle on his back, a different kind of turtling, to turtle on his back to catch this ball and to bring it in. Tannehill said he thought it got stuck in his belly. the football just lodged in his belly button.
I was listening to Colts local post game. I was curious, driving out from Indy. And they're talking about Matt Ryan not being able to hold on to the football. And the interception, they just chalk it up to, like, listen, that's just a great play by a defensive lineman.
There was?
They weren't even putting that thing on Matt Ryan. They were talking about the fumbles. He's got to feel the pressure, take care of the football better. But the interception, they just chalked that up. This is Indy post game local, reaction, just chalked it up to a great play by a D-lineman.
Look at you doing the thing, doing the sports talk radio thing, listening to the opposition to try and get your rocks. That's laugh out loud funny. Now, It was a great play by T.R. Tart. And they do work. They call it matching hands, right? You're matching hands to try and get a hand on the ball. If you can't get to the quarterback, get your hands in the air. Try and do something at the line of scrimmage. Jeff has been adept at it throughout the... And they do have uncommon length between Jeff, Dupree. Tart's not overwhelmingly, like, tall or long, but he did it well enough yesterday because he got his hands on two different passes and ultimately an interception being... one of them. Somebody in the YouTube chat, dog versus face, I'm not sure what that means, brings up, didn't Tart get a random drug test today? Yes, he did. He did, because he was too athletic on the thick pick. Darrington is next. Hello.
Hello there, friends.
What's happening?
Just feels like something sinister is coming.
We're great. I don't know about you. We're doing okay.
I'm pretty sure that you get more information about this, but I just want to know, for a $100 million quarterback, if he earned his money, when did it be okay for a $100 million quarterback to say everyone's not going to be pretty when you play like crap week after week?
Tannehill?
This week. Of course. Okay, you take it to us. Which Ryan played worse yesterday? Matt Ryan or Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, Darrington. Darrington, no.
Stop.
You took it too far. Stop. I would have had a... No. Don't you hold up. I would have had a legitimate conversation with you if you would have said, is he earning his money? You cannot then take it to the extreme of which Ryan played worse yesterday. Stop.
Now, hold on. Because Matt Ryan threw for 330-something, two touchdowns, one interception, and a fumble.
He was chasing the whole time.
He threw for 356, Darrington, and he had a worse game than Ryan Tannehill.
Number says no, he didn't. But hey, the team wise,
the numbers are 24-17. What do you mean the numbers say that he didn't?
That's the score, not the stats. I'm going by stats here. Stats say that
the Colts are 1-2-1 in the NFL this year and 0-4 in the division. What are you talking about?
Okay, so the AFC is now the NFC East of last year. What are you talking about?
Yes, you're
that
right.
Is terrible. Okay. See, but this is what I'm talking about. Quit giving out participation trophies. Darn it, if the kids don't win it, they don't get it. And right now, Ryan ain't getting it. I don't know who's worse, Ryan Tannehill or Caleb Farley. Oh, y'all decide.
God.
That's awful. I love him, but that's terrible.
Caleb Farley, though.
Yeah.
What do you do? What do you do with that? He's got the no-fly zone motion after he has a PBU, and then all of a sudden he's roasted for a 44-yard completion.
But the difference was Ryan Tannehill did everything he was asked to do yesterday. Everything.
They are at their best when he's a complimentary piece. So Ryan Tannehill is better than how many quarterbacks in the NFL? I don't know. I think I'm watching Cooper Rush consistently win games for the Dallas Cowboys. So much so to where there's a conversation being had on the internet. On the internet, but in legitimate circles by media, because Jerry Jones is doing local radio interviews saying that Cooper Rush has done a really, really nice job and kind of starting to pick that up a little bit, a little Romo Prescott stuff.
Hey, you know how many Cowboys quarterbacks in history have started 4-0 in their career as a starter?
Cooper Rush.
One. It's Cooper Rush.
God bless. So, yes, you can get competent quarterback play at levels where you might not necessarily need to pay $100 million. But is Matt Ryan making more money than Tannehill this year? I know Tannehill has the highest cap hit in the league this year, or cap charge in the league this year because of the restructure. But there is so much there that I think if you are paying X amount of money for Ryan Tannehill to win consistently division titles and to go consistently to the postseason and to be considered a legitimate threat rather than looking like a scared also-ran, which is what the Colts are right now. And I'm not saying I don't harbor any ill will towards the Colts. I'm not overwhelmingly that high on the Titans. I'm just looking at what's around them saying, what are you watching? What are you talking about? I don't care how many yards he throws for. I care about the two touchdown passes that he threw. I care about the drops that caused him to have a worse game than he might otherwise have had statistically. And I care about the fact that they did enough to win.
And didn't turn the ball over.
And did not turn the ball over.
The biggest blight on his performance was going down at the end of the first half and not allowing them to stop the clock for the field goal.
Yeah, well, that was horrendous.
Yeah.
Now, that was, if you want to criticize anything Ryan Tannehill did yesterday, they should have had 27 points at the half as opposed to 24 because he completely mangled the clock in that spot. But there's no disputing
that. When you compare quarterback performances, what typically gives you a better picture? Looking at their successes in the game or looking at their mistakes in the game?
Ooh, mistakes.
Mistakes. And it's not close. Mistakes. It was not close on Sunday.
No.
Ryan Tannehill had the better game.
Matt Ryan is an MVP of the league. Is it worth it? 615-737-1045. Lucas says in my ear we have Vols news, so we'll get to that coming up next. All right, there's news. Talking a lot of Titans so far today. Don't forget Mike Vrabel's coming up in about 12 minutes. Hear from the Titans head coach on the day after a 24-17 victory. But we have Vols news in the meantime. Whoa.
Breaking Vols news on 104.5 The Zone.
We ever used that one before?
We have, yeah.
It's equally annoying.
Two things. Number one, Josh Heupel saying in his weekly press conference today that Tennessee cornerback Warren Burrell has had surgery and will miss the remainder of the season.
Oh, well, their secondary was already pretty, what's a polite way to put that? Struggling to begin with. Warren Burrell was their most experienced corner. That's not an ideal situation, especially a must-win game, I would say, against LSU before the opportunity to play at home, hosting Alabama, who at this point looks like they're going to remain undefeated.
They're all must-win games.
Well, yes, I understand, but to drop the LSU game before the Alabama game would be a pretty bad error.
Well, and CBS certainly does not want that because they've announced that Alabama-Tennessee will be the SEC on CBS game, a 2:30 Central kickoff, which CBS certainly hopes will be between two top 10 SEC teams, and that would require Tennessee beating number 25 LSU in Baton Rouge. LSU sneaking into the AP poll after coming back to beat Auburn down on the plains.
Brandon Rushing says Burrell is most experienced but also trash. That's not very nice. All right, what is the second piece of the Volunteers news?
That was it, that 2:30 kickoff against Bama. CBS game, same as the Florida, 3:30 Eastern.
Okay, that is relevant. You're going to Puerto Rico for the Titans bye week, right?
I will be watching the Alabama game at the Orlando airport.
You're going to watch. Just enjoy your vacation. Why would you?
I have to watch the game.
Also, why are you taking vacation after the bye week? I'm perplexed.
Works out.
Okay. It's just for who? That's not helpful to me.
No, it's really not.
It's fine.
My vacation just cannot overlap.
Every time you leave, I just have Robert or Jackson or God knows who else come in here, and it's, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, maybe.
My vacation just cannot overlap with a Titans game, and it does not do that.
Okay. Well, Titans do have a bye coming up here after the Commander Skins football team game. They will travel to Washington this coming weekend. Lucas don't care, says Lance. He's just abandoning us in the time of the most critical need in the middle of football season. Makes absolutely zero sense. Just go to Puerto Rico. I'm very happy for you. Enjoy your beach time.
It's the bye week.
It's not the bye week. It's the Saturday after the bye week.
To me, it's the bye week. To me, when the Titans are not playing a game, it's the bye week.
That's not how that works, but anyway. I think that the Alabama game for Tennessee, man, I don't know how to feel about LSU. I didn't have the opportunity to watch LSU. Well, we watched a little bit of LSU in the hotel bar. I guess we didn't see a ton of it because we were mostly fixated on Missouri, Georgia.
We were preoccupied.
What the hell? I could not believe that game stayed as close as it did for that long. Now, honestly, I went back for some reason, just out of curiosity, because I wanted to see what happened to Georgia. They got handled up front on both sides,
especially near the goal line. They just couldn't do anything in the red zone once they got there.
I have not seen, they were playing defense possessed, Missouri was, against Georgia. Stetson Bennett got knocked around a fair amount. So there's clearly a strategy to be able to beat Georgia. Missouri, I mean, played, that was their Super Bowl or their national championship, whatever you want to call it. Like, they went all out in that game, to their credit, and just didn't have enough at the end. They wasted the efforts of the thick kicker, 2 C's, number 95 out there. No, and probably 4 C's, number 95 out there. Big boy. Hit from what? 50? Did he have 51 or 55? Was it a 55-yard field goal that he made? Ultimately squandered by Missouri.
Yeah, they were up 10 in the fourth quarter.
That's what I'm saying. So I didn't have a chance to see the LSU result because we were watching Georgia, and Lucas was appalled that Indiana was in a tie game with Nebraska and that nobody in the state of Indiana was paying attention at all to that game.
Not just that, we went to the bar specifically to watch the IU game.
That's not why we went to the bar. We went to a bar with the IU game in the background.
Well, everybody there is decked out in IU gear. Like, your friends from college are there. They're wearing IU jerseys, and they're telling me how they hate Tom Allen. And I'm thinking, all right, let's go watch the Indiana-Nebraska game. I want to get this Big Ten Midwest experience here. Nobody gave a damn.
I don't know that I watched the snap, to be honest with you.
IU lost, by the way.
Oh, okay. V-Love did tweet us to the effect of Lucas and his lovely girlfriend Megan going out with a bunch of my college buddies while we were up in Bloomington. Did you puke in the press box from your homecoming night before again? Because famously I have, so this is my sixth season covering the Tennessee Titans as an NFL reporter, and I have to this point been 5 for 5 puking in the Lucas Oil press box. Before the game itself, sometimes at half, depending on what pregame meal is served in the press box. But because the press box is so high, if I'm rocking a righteous hangover and I'm looking down from 7,000 feet above, it's only me and the Lucas Oil can up there at the top. Yeah, it typically does not go well in favor of my stomach. But growth, because we left by like 10:30 Eastern. I was in bed.
It was not a crazy night by any stretch.
No, I'm either washed or I'm an adult now. But yeah, the streak has ended. No more puking in the Lucas Oil press box. Perhaps combine. 615-737-1045. Let's go to Tim in Old Hickory up next.
Hey, Buck, how you doing? I think you're the best person to ask this because I enjoy your show and I hear you talking about a lot of stuff like this.
Sure.
I was listening to Mike Keith yesterday, and one of the Titans got a kickoff returned, and he took it out to the 25-yard line. And Mike Keith said it was a 28-yard return because he caught it 3 yards deep in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So they're counting those yards in the end zone on kickoff returns. And you like me, sort of like somebody getting a 105-yard kickoff return. But they don't count the yards in the end zone for, like, when you throw a touchdown pass or, you know, stuff like you only count the 100 yards in between the lines. And I just think that's inconsistent. It bugs the crap out of me. And I just want to know what you thought about that.
You know, that's a good point, Tim. I've never really thought about it, but I understand what you're saying. Because yeah, there's 103, 105 kickoff returns all over college and the college football and the NFL. But why they don't count the additional receiving yards, like once you're in the end zone? I mean, I guess because there's not yardage markers. But then how would they be able to tell that it's a 105 yard kickoff?
Yeah, I mean, once you cross the goal line, you've reached that mark. And the whole point of that play is to get to that mark, so it doesn't matter
how many yards you get. They just stop counting it once you break the plane.
But it is. It's a fair question. Well, by the way, Titans have a kick returner.
I'm Hassan Haskins. Oh, I really, really like what Hassan Haskins has to offer. Anyway, Mike Vrabel is going to speak to the media. Perhaps he'll be asked about Hassan Haskins. I'm sure he's going to be asked about Treylon Burks. Let's hear what the head coach has to say coming up next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.